Thank y'all so much. Yes, the other day he did say, Jordan, you have not shared in over a year, so it's time. I said, well, it's okay. Just get on with your series, keep on going. And then we realized that I'm only here for about 5 weeks yesterday. So he was like, come on, but I will be back. We'll come visit. But I'm just so excited. Wow. I mean, God's presence is so thick and real in here today, and I'm honored. I mean, we're here for his presence. Amen. There's no place, like Elder Jim said, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Wow. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. God, I just thank you for your word, Father. We thank you that your word is life to us. God, I thank you for who you are to us. Lord, I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. And as we follow you, God, you will lead. You are such a good father. You're such a faithful father and such a faithful friend, Lord. So today we just pray that you would have your will. You would have your perfect way in our lives, God, and help us to open our hearts to you, to be receptive, God. And I just thank you for just speaking through me, using me as your microphone, Lord. And I just thank you again for your word, and I thank you again for your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Has any one of you in here ever felt desperate before? Yes, time and time again. I know I have. But today we're going to look in the Bible at a story where two people felt completely desperate. I know you've all heard of the woman with the issue of blood. And then the father, the ruler, whose daughter was actually dead. It's found in Matthew 9, 18 to 26. We're going to read this together. It says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came to Jesus and worshiped him. He came and worshiped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her so she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, interrupting this, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I touch his garment, I shall be made well. So Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing. And he said to them, make room, for this girl is not dead, but she is only sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. This story is so familiar to a lot of us. But as I was reading this, you know, the ruler whose daughter was dead. You know, and I look out and I see many fathers out there, many young men who one day will be fathers. And I think about this story and how this man was a ruler. You know, he was a ruler, and he comes up to Jesus, and the first thing he did was not say, God, my daughter's sick, you know, come and heal her. She's actually dead. But he came and worshiped him. And after he worshiped, he then proceeded to tell him, my daughter's dead, please, if you'll just come. So he stepped out in faith, and his faith caused him to worship God because he knew who Jesus was. He knew who he was. He knew he was the healer of his daughter's need. Jesus responded out of this man's heart of worship. And then also with the woman with the issue of blood, she also reached out in faith and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She touched the hem of his garment. Jesus responded immediately because of her faith. And I did not even realize that Tim was talking yesterday, the men who were at the men's breakfast. He was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And I also hadn't realized this, but he asked me, why did the lady touch his garment, hit the hem of his garment? I looked and said, I don't know. Am I supposed to know this? But he told me because in the hem of garments back then, it was the very word of God in the hem. So she also was desperate. So she reached out to him to touch him, yes. But she was seeking his word. She was seeking his word. And when she got a hold of that, it stole his virtue. Tim told me Jesus was like, oh, it's not like all of these other people who are touching me, but she sought me because of my word. She sought who he was. And immediately, it says immediately when she touched his garment, he turned around and said, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. And she said to herself, if only I can touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus responded because of her faith, because of her persistence. She was the only one who sought him because of who he was, because of his word, instead of just convenience. Just convenience. You know, as I was thinking about that, I thought about how many of us, how I have been in that situation where so many times I've sought God of what he could do for me. You know, sought God because I've only wanted the benefits. But I haven't even sometimes been willing to seek his word, been willing to read his word, been willing to take 5 minutes out of my day to say, God, use me, talk to me. What would you like to do with me today? How would you like to use me? But these other people touched him. Yeah, he's going by. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll touch. Oh, but she had a mission. She had a goal. I'm going to touch him because I know if I do, everything will change. If only I can touch the hem of his garment. If only I can get into his word. If only I can touch him. She was desperate. She was desperate. When someone is desperate, they'll do whatever it takes to get what they're trying to get. And it also shows what they place their faith in. So many people in this world, you can look around in society today, when they're desperate, people turn to drugs. People turn to alcohol. People turn to maybe their spouse. Maybe they sell themselves because they believe they're that desperate. When someone's desperate, it shows what they place their faith in. These two people that we just read about, they were desperate, but their faith was in the Lord. They knew what he could do. They knew who he was. And this desperation that we feel so many times, pretty much on a daily basis sometimes, it can either draw us closer to the Lord, or it can do the exact opposite. It can pull us away, pull us further away to something that is not lasting. In this case, their heart of desperation led them to worship the one that they knew was the healer, that they knew was the provider of all of their needs. They knew him, so they worshiped him. Nothing is impossible with God. Who just said that? We've been talking about that all morning. Nothing is impossible with God. Seeing Aunt Lynn there yesterday surprised me, and I shouldn't have been surprised. She told us she wanted to come, and me and Mom were saying, oh, that'd be wonderful. But when she walked in those doors, it made me realize, oh my goodness. And I'm tired and I don't want to go somewhere sometimes. But she came, and she still worships even through the hard times, even when the doctors still tell her, you're going to have to do this again. You're going to have to, you know, this road's going to be a long one. Might not end well. She says, no, I believe his word. She knows who he is. I know many of you have heard the story about brain surgery, me going through brain surgery. Many of you have heard some bits and pieces. Some of you have heard the whole thing 10 times. So I'm sorry, but during that moment when I was in brain surgery, I was hearing all of those things of I would never be the same again. And even if I did live, I would have memory loss, permanent memory loss. And even if I didn't have permanent memory loss, I would have something wrong. I would never be Jordan again. But I remember in that moment thinking, I was laying in that bed and I remember God speaking to me and telling me, well, I have a decision to make right here. I can either hear what the daughters are saying and be like, God, I've served you all my life. I've known your word. I've sought you out. And now this, I could allow my desperation to pull me away from God. I've tried that. It didn't work. I'm going to go find something else. Or I could allow my desperation to cling me to the one who has always held me, who has always known me, who has always held me in the palm of his hand. Even when I didn't understand, he did. Even when I didn't know what he was doing, he did. And time after time after time again, I would say, God, what are you doing? Oh, okay. This is why. God, what? This is why. His plan is always better than our plan. His ways are always higher than our even best plans. And that's so good to know. My circumstance during that time did not define God's character. It did not define his character. I saw these situations come, and I saw, actually, there was a boy in the right down the hallway who had the same kind of tumor I had. He didn't make it. He didn't make it. And they told me about this. The doctors basically pointed out, you know, this guy didn't make it. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out for you. I saw that. Yeah, I saw it with my physical eye, but I knew who he was. My circumstance did not define his character, his good and faithful character. We must know who he is in order to truly worship him. In order to know who we're worshiping, we must truly know him. And then as we know him, we will act out our faith in him. Just as the ruler did, and just as the woman with the issue of blood did. The ruler's daughter was dead, and he trusted. He had faith in God because he knew him. I knew him. So I walked out that faith in God. We must know him. Knowing him and knowing his grace is what draws us to repentance. It draws us to repentance, knowing him. You know, as I was thinking about this, it actually made me bawl the other night because I was thinking of just the realness of this. So many people in today's society, so many people in our community and all over the world, they say they know God. They know what he did. Their parents maybe raised them in church. Maybe their whole family is a church-going family and all of that. But some, so many times, rely on their parents' faith to get them to heaven. And it made me bawl thinking that that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Their parents, you know, as I was growing up, my parents would always say, come to church. So I'd go to church. Come to church. Wake up early in the morning. I don't want to go. Well, you're coming. So that worked for a while. But I got to the point where my parents said, but Jordan, are you good? Yeah, y'all have always taught me to be. Yeah, this is what I've known. No. What do you believe, Jordan? How are you living, Jordan? And I remember thinking, wait, this is on me now? This isn't just y'all. I would love to just, you know, just pull me along on y'all's wagon and I can do whatever I want. That sounds good, right? But it doesn't work that way. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about how many people that I know today that they do go to church, that they do know God, that they do know of him rather, but there's no desire. And people ask me all the time, they say, Jordan, I want to desire God, but I just don't. You know why? It's because they don't know him. If only they knew him. If you know him, it's like you can't get enough of him. You can't. If only you know him. And you know, the things that he does, that is so awesome to hear. Other testimonies that is encouraging, that draws you to, you know, to want to know more from other people, but knowing him, knowing his faithfulness, knowing that he's good when everything around you is bad, knowing that when he says yes, it's yes, no matter who says no, knowing that when he says that you're healed, no matter what doctors say, you're healed, knowing that when he says that you're delivered, you're set free and you won't be captivated by that temptation or anything anymore, knowing who he is. And so many times we fall into those traps because we don't understand who he is, who our God is. And if we would know him, if we do know him, we would proclaim, we would be able to have that courage to proclaim, though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. You know, and that is such a hard statement to say, because as I say that, you know, we have people around us now. Though none go with me, well, there's a lot of people with me. So it's easy to say, yes, Lord, I will pursue you. Yes, God, I will follow you. But if none go with me, if I am all alone, if I have no one around me physically, though none go with me, still, God, I proclaim that I will follow you. Though none go with me. If we know him, we will proclaim that saying, though none go with me, God, I choose to follow you because it's worth it, because you know what you're doing, because you are faithful, I will follow you. We must understand the root of our salvation. Getting back to why are we saved? Why do we call ourselves Christians? Why? We must understand what really matters, the whole reason why we worship. In Luke 17, 11, verses 11 through 19, it says, now, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this one foreigner? And he said, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Why do you worship? Why do you worship? Hasn't God healed you? Hasn't God saved you by his awesome grace? Hasn't God redeemed you, rescued you, set you free from bondages in this world? If that is the case, and I believe it is for many of us, for all of us, now it's our turn to turn our desperation into worship. Saying, God, I've tried all of those things. I've tried those people. I've tried doing this and that. Yeah, they're temporary, but God, I choose to worship you even when I'm at my last end, even when I'm completely desperate and I have nothing else to give. God, I give you all that I have. God, I give it all to you. The ruler or the woman with the issue of blood could have easily been upset at Jesus. And I think about this all the time. You know, they could have been so upset saying, God, you know, seeing him in the crowd and saying, no, don't even bother. He won't, you know, he could have caused this to turn out differently. I could have been in that hospital bed saying, God, why would you allow this to happen? I can tell you if I would have done that, it would have turned out completely different than it did, I believe. But my faith and the faith that the woman and the ruler had caused Jesus to respond immediately. Go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith in me has made you well. I knew him and they knew him. And my faith was in him alone. I remember saying this time and time again, but my parents in that room with me, they were there. They were there. They were what I knew my whole entire life up to that point. They were there. They said they loved me. They prayed for me. They could give me no hope. They could give me nothing other than their love. And that couldn't do much at that moment because they didn't know. They did not know. But one knew. One held me. There was one that said, Jordan, no matter what, I have a plan for you and it's good. It's not of evil. It's to prosper you. So my faith was in him alone. And why do we worship? Well, because he is all that he says he is. Because he has healed us. Because he has redeemed us. Because he has saved us when we were not worthy. Because he has rescued us and set us free from the bondages of this world. That's why we are called to worship. We are called to worship. John 4:23-24. Tim read this earlier. It says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So many people in this life, so many people, I've asked this question. What is my purpose? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Well, if you don't find any other purpose in this life, and I believe you will, here it is. We were created to worship. We were created to worship with our lives. And worshiping God with our lives is more than just lifting our hands. It's more than just singing, God, you're good. You know, it's more than just going through the motions, but it's saying, God, no matter what, I will worship you. God, even when I'm down in the valley, when I'm up on the mountaintop, it's the same. God, I worship you because I know you, because I know your character. We are created for that purpose. Down in Luke 19, in that scripture, in verses 37 to 40, it says, then as Jesus was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. If we don't worship, the rocks will cry out. What this scripture is saying, no matter what, he's going to have his worship. But either you can be completely changed and completely blessed by worshiping God, or he's going to have those little cruddy rocks out there do it. But someone will give him worship. But I don't know about you, but I will not allow rocks to replace my worship that he's created in me. I will not allow rocks to steal those blessings that he's created in me. I'm not going to allow it. I will not allow it because he is worthy. He is so worthy. He's worthy to receive everything that we have. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise, he's worthy of it. And he alone is worthy. And so many times we go through different situations where we remember that we were rescued. We remember that he did die on a cross for us. For us ragged sinners. We remember that, but we think, but Lord, this didn't work out. So I don't know. This job situation didn't work out. So, you know, what about I got sick? And we forget the whole basis of our salvation. Jesus chose us. And now it's our turn to choose him back, to worship him. He already chose us. Now it's our turn to turn our desperation in times of desperation to him in worship. He gave it all for us. He continually gives it all for us, day in and day out. He has blessings for you, not just a boring life, but an abundant life, full of joy, of peace, of rest, a refuge for times of trouble. He's there for us. Now, what are we willing to give to him? We must continually realize our desperation for God. Nothing in this life satisfies. Nothing in this world satisfies. Time and time again, we've tasted, we've seen. But God says, taste of me and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you're thirsty, go to him. His river is, he quenches our thirst. He's the river of life. If you're hungry for something, go to him. He will satisfy your hunger. He will satisfy your thirst. He's the only thing on this earth that will satisfy our needs, our desires. Whatever you are desperate for, whenever you are desperate for something, you will do whatever you have to do to get that something, to get it. Jesus has and is everything you need today. He is it all. He is our all in all. And that's so encouraging to know that one person has everything we need. I mean, in this lifetime, we don't think that, but he is everything that we need. And don't think whenever God says, come to me, be with me, that he means, oh, you have to be a nun or something, because I'm not a nun, and I want to get married. But whenever we go to God, he fulfills all those desires in us that then we are able to say, oh, I know who I am in God. Okay, now let's hang out, let's fellowship, let's get married. You know, let's do whatever we need to do now. But until we know who we are in God, we have no identity. We have no identity until we know who he has called us to be. God spoke to me the other day. It was actually 3 nights ago, I believe. He spoke to me, and I believe it was in the middle of the night. It was right whenever I had already fallen asleep. And he spoke to me, and he said, Jordan, knowing who I am draws you to my heart. Knowing what you've done, knowing what I've done draws you to your knees. But knowing who you are in me propels you out into the plan that I have for you. And as I was thinking about that, I kept thinking about the order that he spoke that to my heart in. Knowing who he is first draws us to his heart. First draws us to his heart. Knowing what he did draws us to our knees in humility. Why me? Knowing what he did, but knowing who I am in him, oh, that propels us towards the plan that he has for us. We cannot know who we are in him until we know who he is, until we know who he is. And that also means that we won't be able to truly love him or desire him until we first know who he is, understand who he is. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about my relationship with Tim, me and Tim. And I thought about if Rachel Jones, her and her husband Donnie Jones are the worship pastors in Branson, Missouri at Dr. Mike Brown's church. But I was thinking if she would have never told me about Tim. You know, the first time she talked to me about him, she said, you've got to meet this guy. He's incredible. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, yeah, I've heard this before. Sorry, baby. No, but I was thinking, yeah, okay. And I actually crossed my mind, do I even want to? What if I'm disappointed? So I didn't know what I was missing. But I tell you something. Whenever I started talking to him, whenever I started getting to know him, I wanted to know him more. I wanted to talk to him more. I wanted him to come more. Once he came, I wanted him to stay. And then now I don't ever want him to leave. And so he's not going to leave tonight. But I never want to be without him. I never want to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once we know him, when we know him, we want to know more. We want to know more, and it's like you cannot get enough of him. Once you know him more, you want to hear what he has to say. You want to know all about him. You want to know what his likes are, what his dislikes are. Your heart becomes combined with his. It's like his desires become your desires. What he likes, you like. What he doesn't like, I don't care for it either. Even if you did once, you say, uh-uh, me either. That's what I did with him. You don't like it? Oh, me neither. I was about to say if he was a vegetarian, but no, he's definitely not. I'm not either. But as we know him more, our heart is turned toward his heart. We are drawn closer to his heart. We want more of him. We want more of him. Without him, who am I? Without him, who are we? We are nothing apart from Christ. We must know who he is in order to love him and be drawn to his heart. And after that, after we understand who he is, that's when we will be propelled. And as I studied the word propel this week, propel is not just to be, you'll be propelled like whenever a little kid's like pushed, come on, go, little pat on your bottom. No. Propelled is like a rocket ship, you know, pulled back and shot out into outer space. That is what propel means. Propelled, to drive forward, onward, to move, to thrust. And to cause to move forward with force. That's what propel means. We will be propelled into our destiny after we know him. And then once we are humbled by him, what he's done for us, then we will know, oh, I know that I know that I know that I'm supposed to do this. I know that I know that I know that he is faithful, that he causes everything to work together for my good and for his glory. I know without a shadow of a doubt. And once we know that, once we understand that, then we can move forward. We can move forward. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are we willing today? 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love the scripture. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Another version says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. God is searching throughout this whole earth, throughout our community, throughout this church, throughout this whole world, seeking those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Which say, God, I don't care what I face. God, I don't care what that person says. I don't care what I have, what I don't have. All I know is that I'm for you, that I will listen to you, that I will obey. When you give me a command, God, I'll follow. As you lead, I'm right behind you following. God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing. God is searching for those whose hearts are open to him and who are willing. I know all of you have been in different situations where you felt completely desperate. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you've gone through. But I know every one of us have been in at least one, if not 100 situations that we feel as if we are completely desperate for something. Maybe we feel like we have nowhere else to turn. Time and time again, people have failed you because people do that. Sometimes people are good at doing that. But time and time again, people have failed you. Maybe relationships have failed that you promised, that you counted on with your life. Maybe promises were made to you that have been broken. And now you're at the place where you're thinking, where in the world, where else can I turn? Because every other time I've felt like I've been broken, like I've been abused, like I've been completely distraught after putting my trust in something. And I've been there. I've been there. And I've tried different solutions. I've tried different things. I've tried different things here and there. But I tell you, I have found one. I've found one. And he is the only one that will satisfy our needs. He is the only one that we can run to in time of despair, and he'll pick us up. And even when you don't understand what he's doing, because sometimes we won't because his plans are higher, because his thoughts are higher. Even when we don't understand anything, he'll pick us up. And because we know him, we'll say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. My faith is in you. And you know what he'll say? Arise, your faith has made you well. Come, your faith has made you well. Jesus is the only lasting solution. He's the only solution in our lives that will last. And why? Because he created us that way. That we would only focus on him, that we would hold tight to him. And that's why we look around this world and shake our heads in sadness saying, wow, how could this be happening? How could that be happening? Because we've lost our focal point. We've lost the one true solution. We've lost the one, Jesus. As we know him, as we just know him, we'll be drawn to our knees in worship towards him, in humility towards him. And we will trust and know that he is God. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're dealing with, we will trust and know. I don't know anything else, but I know that you're God. And then we will be propelled into our destiny, into our plan, the plan that the Holy Spirit has for us. And he's living inside of us. So he will teach us. He will train us. He will comfort us in time of need. We will be propelled. So I ask myself and you this again this morning. Are you willing? Are you willing to do what has to be done? Are you willing to look at Jesus and say, all of that other stuff, I see it. But God, now I see you and I want to know you. I want to know you. God has been chasing after you. Maybe you felt that God left you a long time ago. Oh, he's not. We can be running as fast as we can. Oh, one turnaround, he's there. We don't have to run back down the trail trying to find where we left God. No, he's there. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's what his word says. Will you make a decision today that will change every other day in your life for the better? I can promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed if you choose God. If you say, God, no matter what, I choose you. I want to know you. Know you. I want to seek your word just like the woman with the issue of blood did in the hem of his garment. I want to seek your word, God, because as we do read his word, we know him. We know him more and more. By asking God to be Lord of your life today, knowing him more and more, seeking him to know him more and more, worshiping him out of your faith in him, worshiping him. As I think back to that story about the man whose daughter was dead, the ruler whose daughter was dead, the first thing he did, I still can't get over that, was worship. The first thing, his daughter was dead. My dad is an awesome man. I don't know if he would do the first thing he'd do. My daughter's chilling in a bed dead, but I'm going to come worship him. Wow. That should be our first go-to. Oh, I'm in a situation. I'm in debt. My aunt's sick. My father's this. My uncle's child, whatever. What do I do? Well, I'm going to worship. I'm just going to take a minute and worship. Then I'll see what happens. But first, I'm going to worship because he is worthy, because he does hold everything in his hands. So I'm going to worship because he's proved himself to me time and time again. As we worship him out of our faith in him, then we will be able to walk out that plan that he has for our lives. That plan. So many times I've talked to so many people who've said, I just want to know God's plan for my life. I just want to know the direction I'm supposed to go to. Have you read the word? Well, no, but I first want to know what his plan is for me. And then I'll do all that. I want him to prove that he has a plan for me. And then I'll worship. Well, I don't see that going anywhere good because we first have to worship God to know who we are in him, to then know what our plan is, the plan that he has for us is. We must know him, then know his goodness, experience his goodness, be drawn to our knees in repentance toward him, and then we will know what our destiny is and we will be propelled into the destiny that God has for us. Are you willing to do that today? Are we willing to know him? To make a commitment to God that no matter what, Lord, no matter what I do know, no matter what I don't know, I want to know you. God, I want to seek you like I've never sought you before. I want to seek you, God. You will not be disappointed. Isaiah 55. I've been saying it a lot this morning, 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Thank God. Thank God that his ways are higher. Thank you, Jesus, that your ways and your plans that you have for me are higher than my own. Because so many times, time and time again, our plans fail. Time and time again, our thoughts that we put all our hope in, they fail. But God, he is faithful. He is so faithful when I'm so faithless. He is faithful, and he's seeking you today. And I know the enemy is whispering to some of you saying, "Oh, but God doesn't want you. You've tried and tried and tried and tried, and this is your 100th try. Do you think it's going to work?" Oh, yeah, it will. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. He will draw to you so closely, and he wants you. He's pursuing your heart today, and all of you. Maybe it's not that, but maybe there's a situation in your life that you're like, "Jordan, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I am desperate. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know who you can go to. I know the great physician who you can go to, the great counselor who you can go to, and say, God, this is all that's going on." He'll say, "Child, come, I'll take care of it. You listen to me, you listen to my word, I'll lead you, and you just follow me." Wow. What peace. So let us this morning, I want to encourage you all, let us draw close to God, and let us, out of our heart of desperation, come to God. Lead us to our perfect Savior. These things in life that we're going through, maybe in this moment, they are not perfect. Maybe they're the furthest thing from perfect. But we have a perfect Savior who runs to us when we say, "Jesus, Jesus, come." He runs to us immediately. He's our help, our fortress in times of need, in times of trouble. So I want to pray with you all today. I want to pray with you just to agree with you. Whatever you may be going through, maybe you realize this morning, "I don't know him." You know, during this, while I was studying this week, I thought, "God, I want to know you more. I want to pursue you more. I want to know your heart. I want to know your mind. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know everything that I can know. I want to know." So I just encourage you all today, whatever you're dealing with today, whatever you're going through, let our heart of desperation be brought to God in worship. As we are desperate for something, I can tell you what it is. It's Jesus. I believe that anytime we're desperate for something, the root of that desperation is Jesus, because nothing else satisfies us. Nothing else. So I just encourage any of you and prayer team, if you would come and also pray. We want to agree with you today. We want to agree with you with whatever you're going through. Maybe you realize, "Wow, I don't know you, God. Well, my parents really have been carrying me. Maybe they hadn't even known they were carrying me, but their faith has made me believe that I didn't need to have faith of my own." But God is calling you today, saying, "All I want you to do is know me. And as you know me, you'll be drawn to my heart. As you know what I've done, you'll be drawn to your knees. And as you know who you are in me, wow, you'll be propelled out into this world, into the destiny that God has for you." So I just want to pray with you today and believe. And if you mean what you pray, then you'll believe, and you believe it, then you'll receive it. Amen. You will receive. If you mean it, if you pray and believe, then you will receive. So I want to pray with you all today. Whoever wants prayer, whoever just wants us to agree with you, I just encourage you. I just want to encourage you that God wants you. He knows you, but God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. Lord, we love you.